Frank and I checked out of the office and rode over to the church at the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Main. It was a hotel for men, mostly old men, mostly down and outers. It was called the Golden Dream.
Police officers, we'd like to talk to you.
Hey, look, I don't know nothing about what you're here about, except that this Bob Slacktime Funhouse show on that WREK Atlanta is some sort of comedy show. You know, parody. You know, like nothing on it's really real, you know? And it sure don't reflect on WREK, its staff, or them nice folks at Georgia Tech. That's all I know, and I'm sticking to it.
No use kidding the priest. Build his hopes up.
Might as well go tell him now. Merry Christmas.
December, December, wintertime is finally here. You're the last month of the year. Raindrops, hear the splashing, dripping raindrops. Listen, you'll hear. Snowflakes, catch the falling soft white snowflakes, watch, they'll appear. Christmas and Hanukkah are the holidays we cheer. Sing carols, ring sleigh bells, it's a joyful time of year, December.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I need help. Through some sort of an accident, my company shortened their accounts. The bank examiner got there today. I've got to raise $8,000 immediately.
Oh, that's what the reporters wanted to talk to you about.
The reporters?
Yes, they called me up today from your building and loan. Oh, there's a man over there from the DA's office, too, who's looking for you.
Please help me, Mr. Potter.
I've suddenly become quite important. Well, what kind of security would I have, George? You got any stocks? Collateral of any kind?
I have some life insurance. $15,000 policy.
Yes, how much is your equity in it?
$500.
You're worth more dead than alive.
What do you think you're doing? My great-grandfather planted this tree. Hey, you! Come back here, drunken fool! Get this car out of here!
George, it's me, Reverend Susie the Floozy. Hey, glad I caught you, bucko. You seriously need help. Here, brought you a couple cinder blocks and some tire chains. Let me help you with it. Hey, just to be on the safe side, why don't you give me your watch and wallet? Oh, look at the time. You better get a move on, George. Oh, I'll give my best to your wife.
Help! Help!
Heart up, you know. Nasty job, but somebody's gonna work on Christmas Eve while everybody else is getting their jingle bell rocks off. Christmas. Yeah, this blighted season leaves me cold. So cold that the sub-zero wind blowing up my skirts is actually raising my temperature. Yeah, Christmas sure warms the cornholes of my heart. Tis the season, all right. The season to buy into the yearly mass hysteria, the giddy holiday rituals, to gag on candy-coated sentimental lies and delusions, and to stress your financial reserves and your slack to their limits. Oh, and those incessant, cloying Christmas carols. Oh, I mean, how can they take a perfectly good lyric like... screw it all up. Oh, and don't get me started on the Nutcracker Suite. Yeah, Christmas ain't nothing but hell in a concentrated dose. The holiday season is a high colonic that flushes out dozens of loathsome backstabbing relatives and family friends. Despised enemies who know just how to push your buttons and yank your familial chains. And what's more, tradition compels you to go through the motions without complaint. Just sit down and break bread and make nice with that frozen smile on your face beginning to feel like it's winched up with fish hooks while inside your soul is screaming. And you find yourself lynched on the family Christmas tree.
And Christmas Eve can kill you when you're trying to hitch your ride to any place.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Fa-la-la-la-la. Yeah, no wonder this is the cold and flu and suicide season. Oh, I definitely prefer to be alone for the holidays. It's a lot safer that way. Too much damn whimsy can be toxic. Oh, but seems like everybody else is singing a different tune. God, I'm choking on Christmas time chunks here, but oh, it seems that Warren Green and the Cartwrights and Paul Revere and the Raiders and Jack Benny and the Rockettes and the Turtles, unfortunately, all have clear windpipes.
Merry Christmas, neighbor. Happy days to you.
Merry Christmas, neighbor, all the whole year through. Earth is friendly and happy and bright. May it always be just as neighborly as it is tonight. Merry Christmas, children, Santa rides from home. Merry Christmas, lovers, tenderly.
Merry Christmas, mothers, from your girls and boys.
Merry Christmas, fathers. Many be your joys.
Peace, goodwill to all men the world through.
Merry Christmas, neighbors.
Each one's busy in his own particular way. Hurrying nowhere, don't even know why. Mile after lonely mile. Here's advice to brighten up their day. Wear a smile at Christmas. No one likes, no one likes to see a frown. Wear a smile at Christmas. No one likes, no one likes you when you're down.
My fellow Americans, be merry. Count your blessings for a while.
Wear a smile at Christmas. Wear a Christmas smile.
I'm ready, Dennis.
Well, gosh, Mr. Benny, I'm sorry, but you see, this first song doesn't have a violin part for you.
It doesn't? Oh. Oh, well, Dennis, just call me when you need me. Yum dum dum da dum bum bum ba dum bum dee.
Thank you. ho, ho. And what do you want for Christmas, little boy?
Gee, Santa, I want a bicycle.
Well, if you're a good little boy, your wish will be granted.
Thanks.
And what do you want for Christmas, little boy?
Santa, I want to be a real-life sidewalk surfer, and I want a genuine YME, a Bun Buster skateboard, and a bottle of peroxide, and 114 Yeti and the Snowmen surfing records, and a Fender Electric twangy surf guitar.
Is that all?
Gee, no, it isn't, Santa. If I'm going to be a real-life, genuine sidewalk surfer, I got to have a torn white sweatshirt and a pair of cut-off blue jeans and some Huarache sandals and a subscription to Surfer Magazine.
Surfer Magazine. Well, little boy, I hope that's all you want for Christmas.
As a matter of fact, no, Sandy, it isn't. If I'm gonna be a real genuine sidewalk surfer, I gotta be one of the boys. And I gotta have a bunch of surfboard decals and 15 copies of Mizuru and a surfer dictionary and a big box of Band-Aids.
Band-Aids? Why would you want Band-Aids for Christmas?
Well, Santa, if I'm a sidewalk surfer, I'm gonna be out shooting the curb. And when I fall and bust my buns, I gotta fix myself up.
Oh,
Santa, please, I
wanna
be a real
Merry Christmas,
surfer.
Little boy.
Oh, please,
Merry
Santa,
Christmas.
Please.
Not that I'm bitter. Oh no, sirree, Bob. Oh, I tried to buy into the lies. Oh, I did too. Until I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. And Daddy was in Dubuque on business. Yeah, that about did it for me. Yep, the first big lie, Santa. Father Christmas. Kris Kringle. Old Nick. Oh, wait, that's Satan. I mean Saint Nick. Yeah, big difference. Oh, whatever his name is. He has countless aliases and a police record that looks like a major rock band's room service bill. Oh, but I found that out later. At the age of 5, I was hooked like a bass on the net, perpetuated by my eagerly prevaricating parents. Oh, my mother once actually convinced me that I heard the faint patter of reindeer hooves on the roof overhead, and I dutifully tried to hasten sleep before I witnessed that fearsome primal scene. Ooh, the sight of the man in the red suit. Not Satan, but close. The suspiciously friendly old home invasion expert who creepy crawls into home and hearth, drawn by the beckoning milk and cookies, the symbolic offering that bespeaks, enter freely and of your own will. And after depositing brightly wrapped lures under the tree, he makes his way into your bedchamber, where he oh so quietly pulls back the covers and inspects your sleeping little body in the moonlight, taking Polaroids and cell scrapings and clippings and whatnot. And then his nostrils flare as his attention is suddenly drawn to the foot of your bed, where he finds a sock you left for him. He fondles and snuffles it until he shudders at the sudden frightening rapture, and then, sheepish and guilty, he fills a stocking with trinkets to buy your silence. Yes, this is the role model they create for us. And it's actually sort of a relief when you find out that he is alive. And when you pick off the cheesy candy coating, Christmas is the product of some pretty sick minds.
And when his nephew came by to wish him a Merry Christmas, all Scrooge could say was, humbug! And he refused the young man's warm invitation to Christmas dinner. When it grew dark on that frosty Christmas Eve, old Scrooge went home to his empty and gloomy house and locked himself in. As he sat by the fire before going to bed, he was startled by an apparition.
Close your eyes and relax yourself. Picture Christmas Eve. You are alone, and the house is quite peaceful. The time is midnight. All of a sudden, Santa Claus is standing in front of you. How do you image him? You may be a bit startled or amused by his being there. He shows you an enormous bag he's brought with him and tells you that there are things in it that are for you. You ask why he's doing this. He replies that he thought you might enjoy some of the things that he has, and why not? Some of them are material, some are activities you enjoy, some half-remembered wishes. He holds out a large package to you, smiling a soft, knowing smile. The package is a large red box, wrapped with ribbon and tied with an enormous bow, on which a bright ornament is fastened. You thank him and begin to open the box.
Well, hello, children. Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I've just stopped by to leave this record album with you. You see, for the first time in my life, I've invited someone to live with me at the North Pole so we could record all the happenings with my friends while we prepare for Christmas. That's right. Now you can hear and see everything that happens at my home. It all started when I invited reporter Dick to come and live with me for about 20 days, right up to Christmas Eve. It was late one night when I called him.
Hello?
Oh, is this reporter Dick?
Yes, but do you know what time it is?
Do I know what time it is? Huh, it's close to Christmas Eve and counting. Well, who better would know what time it is this season of the year?
Say, who is this anyway?
Ho, this is Santa Claus, reporter Dick. Santa Claus. And I haven't got time to talk about the time. I'm a busy man.
Santa Claus? But why are you calling me, Santa?
Well, I'm inviting you to spend the next couple of weeks with me at the North Pole. Now, you be ready, because I'm sending my very best sleigh for you, and be on the corner of Main Street.
Now we're going to let Barbie sing, and Barbie, what do you want to sing? Barbie's going to sing You Better Not Shout, and she's going to sing it real loud.
I better not shout, I better tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows that you've been good, and again is sick. Oh, they better not shout, I tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, boy, does that bed look good, Santa. I'll just jump right in.
Wait, Dick, don't. Too late. I tried to warn you not to jump in. You have to roll onto it slowly, like floating on a wave. Here, let me help you out. There, that's better.
Oh, phew, that's the softest bed I've ever been in. Now, Santa, I think I'll just close my eyes.
You talk about Santa Claus, you want to know what it's all about. Santa Claus got drunk last night, everybody tried to throw him out. But I want to tell you folks how it all began. Santa stopped at a neighbor's house and started drinking good gin. Now while I was with him, I named a few. I love to name some of them whiskeys that Santa was drinking to you. It was way back in the ancient age, down in Mid-Spring Valley, where the crab tree grow. An old granddaddy bought a rocking chair for Mr. Boston. One day we're rocking in the mellow breeze. The rocking chair broke and threw him by the mouth. He jumped up thinking about his old drum. Saddled his white horse, said he's going over to Johnny Walker. He swam the three rivers, past the cabin still. On his way over to Johnny Walker's, he sees some of the old cornfield. He hollered Johnny Walker's to bring me a yellow stone. I'm going down to Grenadier Club and get me a chaser. Come back and kill the old crow. That's when the white horse doubled up like beauty in the front of the Wilkin family. That was a disgrace that old teacher with the red bud. He'd tell everybody in town except Paul Jones. He was wearing four roses and had seven crowns. The pride of watching stock was up in Cave Hollow, watching the white swan swim down Sunny Brook and emptied in the Green River when a rum got after him. chasing down 76, up 51, through champagne velvet, made him catch up a slow gin, lose 20 grand. Nice out no California port. Mr. R.W. Hopper, and old log cabin, sleeping on the three feathers. Santa be around next year. See you later, my friend. I couldn't help it. I've been loaded on this good Gordon gin.
Kathleen, Bobby, Susie. Yes, Susie's been nice. Nice, nice, naughty. Nice, nice, nice.
You've been a good little girl this year?
Of course I've been good.
You have been good?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Santa knows whether you've been naughty or nice. Why don't you tell me what you'd like for Christmas, little girl?
Well, a Jaguar.
A Jaguar?
Red.
Red?
Black leather interior.
Well, the only thing that you're going to get red is this little behind of yours, because Santa knows you've been a very, very naughty girl.
No, I haven't.
Yes,
gently.
Good night, Reporter Dick. Sleep well.
Thank you, Santa.
When I saw God, he had a long white beard, and he brings me gifts at the end of the year. But the big one comes in the by and by, from the Santa Claus up in the sky.
From the Santa Claus up in the sky.
For example, on a Christmas morning, every man's life is poor if there are not small children in the home on that day. I do not know anything that makes Christmas quite so wonderful as the shining brightness in the eyes of little children who have been told that during the night Santa Claus came and there was something in a stocking for them. I don't know what the child experts are saying today. Maybe you're not supposed to teach your children about Santa Claus. I never thought there was much harm in it. It always seems to me it adds something to the whole family's celebration of the birthday of Christ. But let me tell you something. If you have a boy in your home 18 years of age who still believes in Santa Claus, I'd get worried. Some things are all right in their proper place, but some things you outgrow if you are normal.
So you made me spend all my money. You laugh and call me old Santa Claus. But I'm telling you, baby, I'm through with you. Because, just because.
Woman, excuse me.
What time is it anyway? I'm exhausted.
It's after 7, dear. And you've got a big day ahead of you. You're due at the toy factory at 8. Reindeer practice begins at 9 o'clock sharp. Then there's planning and analysis with your weatherman at 10:30. And of course, there's all this mail waiting to be read.
You know, dear, sometimes I wonder if I'm in the right profession. So much work for one man. Even the old ho, ho, ho doesn't sound so great lately.
Hey, speak
Maybe
for yourself.
I'm losing my touch.
Losing your touch? Nonsense. It's just that you're overworked. You need some help. Someone to shoulder a little of the responsibility. After all, Christmas is a big job to handle all by yourself.
You know, dear, I think you have a point. I could use someone to help. Someone to visit all the children and find out if they're really being good boys and girls like they say in their letters. But who can I get to help me?
Point eight named Bob, your drinking buddy.
Later that week, the Pink Panther, still disguised as Santa Claus, made a surprise visit to Tuffy and Butchie to find out if they had been telling the truth when they had told him they'd been good boys all year. He tiptoed around to the side of the house and peeked in their bedroom window.
it would have curled the real Santa's whiskers if he could have seen and heard what was going on inside.
I promise I'll be good.
Yeah, that's what they all say. They all say they'll be good now. But what about later?
Oh, I'll be good later.
Uh-huh. And for the whole year, would you be good?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I don't believe you. I don't believe at all. You've been naughty all this past year. So what makes it any different now?
Because Selfie spanked me, for being a bad boy last year. I'll be a good boy this year, so I won't do the same thing next year.
Obviously, you like it, little boy. Isn't that right? You want Santa to spank you.
Yes.
In fact, I think I remember you from last year.
I'll be good. I'll be good. I'll be good.
Thank you, Santa.
Well, don't get upset now, Reporter Dick. I'll tell you what, I'll fix some hot chocolate and you just sit there and relax. And then maybe I'll sing the song that you like so much. In fact, I'll sing it now for you. Oh, this is a song about me, Jolly Old St. Nicholas. Well, would you children mind if I sang along with you? We have to sing three verses now. Talk about Susie and Johnny, all of them. Okay, I'll sing with you. Jolly old St. Nicholas.
Mind your own business, Beardo. Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, at Gracie's department store, thousands of children are waiting for Santa to arrive at the toy department. Little do they know that the Pink Panther will be taking Santa's place. Somewhere in the crowd are Tuffy and Butchie McSnide, two of the meanest kids in town.
Hey, Tuffy, you seen the old man yet?
Nah, but I got my eyes peeled. When he shows, we'll sneak up to the front of the line.
Good thinking, brother. Why should we wait around with all these goody-goodies? We'll just tell old Santa Claus what we want for Christmas, then go outside and really have some fun.
I think he's coming. I hear bells. Yeah, that's him, all right. Looks like he's lost a little weight.
Come on, Tuffy, let's get up to the front of the line before these kids go crazy.
I'm with you, Butchie boy. Let's go. Look out. Coming through!
Well, now, you two, why don't you hop right up here on Santa's lap and tell me your names and what you want for Christmas?
Here, Mr. Santa Claus. I'm Rupert McSnide, and this is my brother, Bixley.
Rupert and Bixley. What nice names! Ho, ho, ho!
Yeah, I suppose so, but all our friends call us Tuffy and Butchie.
Tuffy and Butchie? I hope you boys are nicer than those names make you sound.
Oh, sure, Sandy. We're real good boys. Right, Tuffy?
That's right. We never get into any trouble at all. Not us.
Well, in that case, why don't you tell Santa what you want for Christmas?
Okay, I got the list right here. We want 2 bikes, an electric train set, 2 pogo sticks, a sled, 2 pairs of roller skates, a super glass space station, 5 pounds of firecrackers, 2 dozen chocolate covered nuts.
Ho, ho, ho! Slow down there, Rupert, my boy. That's quite a lot of toys for 2 boys to receive. You must have been very good children all year. Do you keep your room nice and clean?
Yes, Santa.
And you never fight with each other?
No, Santa.
And you always do what your mummy and daddy tell you to?
Oh, yes, Santa. Always.
Well, well, we'll see about that. Now run along. Santa's got to talk to the other children. But remember, be good and do what I told you to. You never know when Santa is watching.
Oh, we'll be good, Santa, just like we always are. Come on, Butchie. We gotta go help a little old lady across the street.
Well, thought the Panther, I'm not sure these two are telling me the truth.
I can certainly understand why Mrs. Claus doesn't have time for anything else at Christmas. She seems to be everywhere at once. I don't believe she's even noticed we're here. No, she hasn't. You see, she's trained herself not to let anything break her power of concentration. Now I'll just get all the ingredients she'll need for our hot chocolate and put them right here on the stove for her. If you'll be good enough to reach that container. No, not that one. That's the pepper.
Watch out, Santa, it's spilling.
Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid I'm going to sneeze.
Me too.
There go the cakes. We're in trouble now.
A short time later...
Well, at long last, here's that hot chocolate I promised you, Reporter Dick.
Thank you, Santa.
I hope Mrs. Claus isn't terribly upset with this. It was all my fault.
No, no, goodness, no, not at all. We even had a good chuckle about it after you left. The only thing is, you're going to have to help me eat all those cakes she had baking in the oven.
Tell me, is there a particular Christmas you remember more than any other?
A particular Christmas, huh? No, I don't... Wait a minute. There was that Christmas Eve when, for one terrible moment, I was afraid I wouldn't be able to pay a visit to a single boy or girl.
What happened, Santa?
Away, Francis! Away, Cumberland! Oh, fog, fog! More fog! Fog! I've never seen so much fog! Oh, can you see anything yet, Dasher?
No, Santa. I... Oh, wait, wait a minute down below, Santa. A red light. No, now it's gone. Now it's back. Gone. Back. It seems to be flashing, Santa.
Oh, we'd better have a closer look. Oh, down, Dasher. Down, Dancer. Down, Comet and Vixen. Down.
You won't believe this, but last Christmas Eve, Santa Claus got lost. It's possible these damn TV antennas and the reindeers got wounded. I didn't know where the hell they were going. And he come down the chimney, and it was in the red light district. And he didn't, he saw the stockings, and he's putting the toys in. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. He turns around, here's his beautiful gal in the black negligee, pouring a martini, you know. She says, come here, Santa baby. Sit down, have a drink. Stay a while. He says, no, I can't do that. Tonight is Christmas Eve. I got to go around the world tonight. Santa said that. You can never trust a guy with a beard, you know. So she comes over and drops one shoulder strap. She says, come on, stay a while. I says, no, no, the reindeers are double parked. So she walks up, she drops a negligee, completely stands in a nude. She says, no, you stay a while. He says, hell, I might as well. I'm not going to be able to get up the chimney anyway.
Santa's coming down the chimney when he comes. Santa's coming down the chimney when he comes. Santa's coming down the chimney with a ho, ho, ho by Jimmy. Santa's coming down the chimney when he comes.
He'll be riding with his reindeer when he comes. He'll be riding with his reindeer when he comes.
Everybody will be sleeping when he comes. Everybody will be sleeping when he comes. Everybody will be sleeping, except a pussycat that's peeping. Everybody will be sleeping when he comes.
Many presents he'll be bringing when he comes.
Many presents he'll be bringing when he comes.
Many presents he'll be bringing to the children who are singing. He'll be coming down the chimney when he comes.
Santa! Oh, Santa! It's time to get up. You're due at the toy factory in half an hour. Oh, wake up, sleepyhead. It's time to begin your day. Come on now. Breakfast is ready. Wake up, sweetheart. Well, I guess it's time to go to Plan B. Ready, elves?
Ready, Mrs. Claus.
Okay, boys. Let her rip.
Well, Snowbell didn't always jingle like that. At least not before my reindeer and I took our annual vacation to the South Pole several years ago.
A trip to the South and North Poles. In this game, we are going to be a submarine, a penguin, and a big white polar bear. As a submarine, we are going to dive under the water, submerge, level off, and then come back on top, surface. Let us do the game once through. Stand erect and bring your arms up, forward, shoulder high. Palms down. Bend your trunk forward halfway. Walk forward in this position 8 steps. Now straighten up and walk forward 16 steps. You have leveled off. Then backwards so that your arms are pointing up and take 8 steps. You are now surfacing. Directly above you, there is a hatch, a cover. Reach up and open it straight up. Now climb up the ladder and step out. Look over there. You are seeing South Pole penguins. See how they waddle? Let us do the same. Place your arms straight down at your sides. Bend your hands back so the palms are facing the floor. Point your toes way out, heels in. Without lifting your feet, slide each foot forward. In turn for 16 steps. Now, let us get back into the submarine to go to the North Pole. Be sure you close the hatch down after you. Ready? Submerge! Level off! Around. Into the sub, nose hatch, climb down, sub merge, level off.
I hope you haven't heard this one yet. Do you all know Mr. and Mrs. Dinky?
No!
Yeah, don't! No. Oh, my gosh. Well, it seems last Christmas, Mrs. Dinky saved up every penny she could to buy her husband that beautiful carving knife that he'd had his eye on for so long. So before Christmas dinner, just in time to carve up the juicy turkey that Mrs. Dinky had so carefully prepared, she said, let's open presents. Lo and behold, if Mr. Dinky doesn't say he forgot to buy her a Christmas present, but can he have his anyways? So what does Mrs. Dinky do? She turns Rudolph red, she tears the wrapping paper off the carving knife, and chops up her husband like a 200-pound butterball. So, of course, she was arrested, she went to court, and was sentenced to death. But just before she was taken away, the judge looked at her with disgust in his eyes, and he said, you chopped off his head, you chopped off his feet, you chopped off his arms, you chopped off his legs. How could you, Mrs. Dinky?
Let's!
Something.
No, 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 no.
get back and I sort of reminisce. DJ, doing the, I guess, probably one of the best-known albums that Ellis did.
It's probably the finest I've ever heard, Neil. And he was, at that time, a little ahead of his time, especially on the rock and roll style Christmas things he did. People were, at first, I think they were shocked, but then...
Yeah, it was hard to hold him back on the session.
Yeah, it really was.
Steve shows, hey, well, Elvis, you know, you can't quite do the Christmas songs that way. And,
but he did them.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is back in town.
Yeah, right.
And it come off really great, though, because you still hear that thing every year, and you hear all those records.
Santa, bring my baby back to me.
I think really what was... strange to Elvis, and of course we were used to it a little bit, is cutting Christmas albums in the middle of June. It's just sort of
hard to get into.
Really hot outside.
I think everyone will enjoy the updated versions of all of these old Christmas songs. I think the treatment and techniques used reflects the mood and true feeling of Elvis when he sang them originally.
Edith, come back here.
Oh, honey, what is it?
Eating the fruitcake.
The fruitcake? It's gotta be...
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Elvis!
Well, I was sliding down the chimney, and I got stuck.
I had to use the winch from my pickup truck.
Shut up. I headed through the living room and started to eat.
He cleaned out all the houses up and down our street.
He's eating 16 turkeys and a dozen hams.
Don't forget six pumpkin pies and a bushel of yams.
Yeah, he's been through the bacon and he sucked down the lard.
Now I'm headed for the dog in your backyard.
Mama, Mama, he's chasing the dog.
Come here, you hound dog. Well, I've been gone 11 years, but now I'm back.
There ain't a locked refrigerator he can't crack.
I'm just getting started, but before I'm through, your town is going to look like Kalamazoo.
Yeah. So you better hide the children, you better hide the food, because the king is back and he's one hungry dude.
I'm Elvis Aaron Presley, and I ain't dead.
Edith, dump this can of Crisco on his head.
Ow.
I think he likes it.
Flash Bulletin.
This is a flash bulletin. Occupants of the Northern Hemisphere,
listen up. This is for you. At 2:33 a.m., Elvis Aaron Presley, I repeat.
Elvis Aaron Presley was spotted coming out of the Elf Lodge.
I repeat, the king has been spotted in the North Pole.
Reports indicate that he is much larger than he was at death and reeked of alcohol at last sighting.
He was teetering down the stairs, trampling innocent elves and trying to
mount at least a dozen reindeer.
Flash, North Poleans, be on the lookout. The king has been spotted.
He's big. He's bad.
And he's wasted.
This show ain't no good.
Hello, I'm Bob Moore. As your pastor and friend, I send these Christmas greetings. On behalf of my wife, Marion, and four children, John, Timothy, Libby, and Becky, I want to wish you a blessed Christmas season. I wish we had the opportunity of coming to your home and visiting with you personally.
Last year, every piece of tinsel and paper was colored with red and green ink. But red and green are last year's scene. What would you think if I told you this year Christmas is gonna be pink? There'll be pink stockings and pink trees.
Period of silence. He said, Mommy, when are we going to give Jesus his present? I thought this was his birthday.
Hey, Jesus, here's your chia pet. Enjoy.
Okay, we're out on Montgomery Street. You know, my mission this week is to teach Gentiles in the Bay Area how to say Hanukkah. Now, what religion are you?
Catholic.
And you?
Presbyterian.
And you?
Jewish.
Okay, now we're going to have the Presbyterian and the Catholic say Hanukkah, and then we'll have the Jewish guy show them how it's done. Go ahead. First, the Catholic.
Hanukkah.
Okay, now the, what are you again?
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian. Go right ahead.
Hanukkah.
Oh. Okay, now here's the Jewish guy. This is going to be great. You show him how it's done.
Okay. Hanukkah.
You see that guy?
Deep enough?
Huh?
Was that deep enough?
Yeah, but you had the chah.
Need a little more roughage.
Hanukkah. Oh, no. Think of chutzpah or chazarai.
Hanukkah.
Awful. How about you?
Chutzpah.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
What religion are you?
Buddhist.
A
Buddhist. Were you born here in Chinatown, or where were you born?
We were born in America, yeah.
Hanukkah. Can you do that?
Hanukkah. I'm from the Bronx, Hanukkah. I'm coming from New York.
Could you teach the whole Chinese community how to say Hanukkah?
To pronounce the K, Hanukkah. Not very easy for them. I say Hanukkah.
So it's kind of hard for the Chinese people here to celebrate Hanukkah.
Shalom, shalom.
Junji. Junji. We would like some more wine. Junji. Oh, I forgot. After you called, I gave Chunjin the night off. But because it was Christmas Eve, I told him. He was very reluctant to go.
That's probably because he's a Buddhist and he doesn't celebrate Christmas.
I don't think that Chunjin is a Buddhist. But he smiles all the time.
Oh, what a shame. I thought he was a Buddhist. I would have sent him a Christmas card. But I figured that if I sent him a card at this time of the year, that he would have to send me a card on the Buddha's birthday to save face, right?
Oh, right.
And that would have started a whole big McGill.
Exactly right. That's, you did exactly the right thing. Twelve days of Christmas. One day of Christmas is loathsome enough.
It was the night before Christmas when I was through the house. I could hear something stirring. It was my husband that wound it. I screamed down the stairs, jacket back to this bed, but heard not a word from the weasel I wed. So I slipped on my house coat and stockings with care, but except for those items, my body was bare. I scoured the whole house, but my search was in vain, and visions of homicide danced through my brain. When out on the lawn there arose such a sound, I ran to the door and tore open my gown. The moon on my breast and the new-fallen snow gave the luster of youth that I had long ago. When what to my baby blue eyes should appear but a man dressed in red from his head to his rear. From the leer in his eye to the hump in his back, I knew in a flash that it must be my Jack. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called me by name. Now, Dusty, now, Dusty, now, Dusty, please, Dusty, now, Dusty, oh, Dusty, please, Dusty, now, Dusty. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His legs were like fir trees, his chest was so hairy. But a wink of his eye and a jerk of his head soon gave me to know I had something to dread. He stood there just smiling and rubbing his nose, so I gave him the nod, and up the staircase he rose. He sprang to the bedroom and whistled so sweet that I followed his call like a heifer in heat. And you could hear us both scream as we dove undercover. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good lover. Isn't that cute? Isn't that true?
These were Christmas gifts for you, and now you're going to taste them. You're going to feel the taste of them. You know, there is an advantage for working for a fetish video company.
Meanwhile, dear children, the elves down below finished their loading and to the chapel did go. But as they were praying for Santa's safe trip, along came Jack Frost. Oh boy, he's a pip. He's sneaky and sly, and he's really not nice. He doesn't like Christmas, so he covered with ice the sleigh which was loaded and ready to go. Now, alas and alack, it is stuck in the snow.
I'm a dirty, rotten villain in an icy coat of snow. I leave sorrow, fear, and chaos no matter where I go. I take pride in what I'm doing, in the labors I'm pursuing, and my favorite trick is stopping Santa's sleigh.
Warning was given of a wings too cold, but of the grave danger the crew was not told. With countdown completed, the rockets did roar as millions were watching to see Challenger soar.
As the mightiest man in the world races through the darkening sky, little does he realize how justified his fears are. At that very moment, in his secret laboratory not far from the White House, Thurston Kilgore is talking.
Ah, you're awake, my young friend. Good. Soon you will have the privilege of being part of the greatest Christmas happening in 2,000 years. Oh, all right, I'll remove the gag. But it's no use trying to call for help. No one can hear you. Hold still a minute. Ah, there you are. I don't understand. Who are you? And what's the big happening you're talking about? And why are you holding me in this place? I am Thurston Kilgore, scientist. But soon I shall be Thurston Kilgore, master of the world.
Master of the world?
You've got to be kidding. Kidding? Not at all. You see these television screens? I'll turn on number one. What do you see?
The White House. The Christmas tree on the lawn.
And here's number two. Now, what do you see?
I'm not sure. Looks like, a missile at a rocket site.
Very good. That rocket, by the way, is ready for immediate launching and carries a payload of 5 nuclear warheads, each 100 times as powerful as the Hiroshima bomb.
But what has this got to do with...
Patience, young man. Patience.
I've got to call Danger Woman telepathically. Help, Danger Woman, help.
Tommy?
Yes, Danger Woman, you're our only hope. You've got to help us destroy the Christmas tree monster.
But if I do that, I'll destroy Christmas for all the children in the world.
That's not true, young one.
Brainstorm?
Yes, young one. I heard the telepathic link with you and Tommy the Red Ranger. Listen, young one. There's something I must tell you.
What's that, Brainstorm?
There's something you should know. You do have the Christmas spirit.
That's not true! I haven't had the Christmas spirit in a long time! Not since I was a little girl!
Listen to me, young one. You've had the Christmas spirit inside you all along.
I did?
Yes. That monster was made by the forces of evil to try and spoil Christmas for all the zoo-going children of the world.
Now I understand what's going on. Power Rangers, combine your power source and Hero Midas to form the Ultra Zeozord. I'll call for Arlet the Conqueror and your whirling wheel friends. Okay, guys, let's do it! Magic powers, hear my plea? Make me giant size immediately! Okay, Power Rangers, rise and dice and stop that Christmas tree monster! Magic powers, hear my plea? Destroy this Christmas tree monster, please!
So don't count on... Excuse me, what the hell are you doing, Wally, playing a death march? You have a lovely sense of music, but no sense of humor. Come on, let's get together. This is Christmas. This is jokes. Let's do it. Come on. Good. That's good. I'll be a homo for Christmas. So don't count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe, but no hanky-panky. Oh, the weather outside is horrid, but the fire in you are torrid. How long will last, we just don't know. So let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. You know, I had a lovely weekend with my friend Chaz at his cabin. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at mine. Ricky, what the hell are you doing jumping on the punchline? You know what you guys are getting for Christmas replacements. Come on, let's go. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. What the hell do these things have to do with Christmas? Isn't that cute, isn't that true? I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath his big fat... Ricky! You know, you just blew my last musical joke. My last Christmas musical joke, you really did. But I'm going to let it lie. Instead, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring out my next guest. She's the goddess of the silver screen. She's made well over 3 motion pictures, most of them X-rated. Here she is, the most divine...
Hey, don't wear it out, Dusty. Oh, man, I'm trying to get into the swing of things here, but I ain't having no luck. Oh, I tried to make Mary, but her boyfriend got really bent out of shape over it. Hey, I would have returned her when I was done. But I guess he just hadn't slugged down enough of that old Christmas spirit. Oh, but as I was saying, at any rate, Christmas is the product of some very sick minds. Some time ago, I heard from a Christian listener who made a very hateful, unsavory request that I beat up on Muslims or Hindus for a change. Well, I only rant what I truly feel, and when I start getting Ramadan shoved down my throat and suffer sensory overload from constantly muzaked Krishna carols, then maybe the focus of my high dudgeon will be shifted elsewhere. But nothing brings home the reality of the iron-fisted rule of the Christian lockstep culture like this yearly mob hysteria. Oh, sure, Christians will point out that we've got a choice of Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or even the winter solstice, but somehow it all boils down to the fact that I have to celebrate something at the same time as they do, or it bothers them to their cores. I become an extremely suspicious element, someone with dangerous individualistic ideas who bears watching. But hey, I'm not the only one. Not by a long shot. And you heard from some of them tonight, like Sister Dusty Town there, Miss Catherine O'Hara of SCTV working the trailer parks as a poor man's Rusty Warren. You also heard No Particular Order, Christmas is for Children, The Singing Calendar, Mal Sharp, The Man on the Street, James Brown, The Jordanaires, The Simpsons, Pink Panther's Christmas, Christmas with Santa and his friend, Reporter Dick, The Manchurian Candidate, Chester the Chubby Elf, Challenger with Seven and Crew by Sammy Poole, Superman's Christmas, The Video Spanked by Santa, a snippet from the Danger Woman Power Rangers show, Sleazy Comic Bert Henry, Rusty Draper, Tell It Like It Is, Dr. Francis Stern, two personal recorded Christmas cards. That screeching Santa Claus is coming to town thing was by some little girl done in 1957 on an Edison voice writer stenographic acetate. And Pastor Bob Moore's message was some personal Christmas card from a crusty 45. And the filthiest thing by far was Santa's Coming Down the Chimney by the Peter Pan Singers. Background textures were provided by Disco Noel, The Three Sons, Lenny D, Hebrew Melodies and Popular Dance Time, Danny Elfman here, and Roger Williams. Steve Lyon will be rounding us out with Christmas Amoeba along with some holiday good wishes from some of our Japanese friends. So keep a low profile, seekers.
Oh, come, all ye formless, myriad and tiny, you split personalities that multiply. Split into millions, serve no useful function, with pseudopod mitosis and minuscule neurosis, too simple for psychosis. Split and be free. Christmas amoeba, one will fill your stocking if it is watertight and if you don't mind. Mind over matter makes a protozoan. Benide Cetacilia, Agape Eros Philia. And if I ask you, will ya under the tree?
Warning, extreme emergency.
Merry Christmas!
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 Hey, hey, hey! Anata mo Merry Christmas! Come on, yo!
Christmas! That will light up this beautiful symbol of brotherhood and love.
Merry Christmas!
Click.